and discussion of the use of multiple models in stock assessment and development of catch advice. The other items were an update on the risk policy work group and an update and briefing on the National Academy of Sciences report. You'd be better served by getting those updates directly from the folks that provided them to us. We also discussed our work plan for this year, and I won't bore you with those details. Basically, we're going to meet several times and set ABCs. So I'll take these four in turn, and I think usually I go through the whole report and then take questions at the end. Okay. So the role of social scientists, this issue came to us from our four social scientist members on the committee. They had some growing concerns that they wanted us to have a dedicated discussion about. There were three prime, and they formed sort of an ad hoc social science subgroup and had a couple of calls before the meeting to better specify these issues and propose some courses of action. So as a group, they agreed on three primary issues that were worth discussing. The first is that social science, dedicated social science terms of reference are fairly rare, fairly rarely come before the SSC. The second is that while addressing the majority of our terms of reference, which are more heavily grounded in the natural sciences, sometimes when we're close to our quorum, we can actually achieve quorum because of the presence of social scientists, and they weren't sure that that was what we really wanted, that we didn't have kind of the core expertise needed for those terms of reference. So they wanted to discuss quorum issues. And sort of on the flip side, when we do discuss, address terms of reference that are more grounded in the social sciences, because they are a minority of our committee, critical mass is arguably lacking to adequately deal with those issues. So these were the three issues they put before us. And they put forward three proposals, and these weren't necessarily proposals they were endorsing as a group. They were ideas for discussion. Some did get some degree of support and others not, but they wanted to keep this a more open discussion. So three possible courses of action were to revisit recommendations the SSC has made in the past, so that we look for ways to incorporate social science information into development of ABC advice. The second is consideration of whether we should have more dedicated social science terms of reference, and also whether we should have a quorum standard for meeting composition based on the terms of reference we're going to address. And the third was to put together a roster of social science experts who are not on the SSC but whom we might recruit for short-term appointments as needed. So I'm going to go through the SSC response to each of these proposals. The first, to incorporate more social science information in the setting of ABCs, the committee distinguished in the beginning that this is different from consideration of social science factors in developing risk policy. That is something that should precede setting of ABC. So when we receive a term of reference to set an ABC from the council, ideally that would include some idea of the council's risk tolerance and risk policy, which should be informed by ABC. Should be informed by social science considerations. So this is different. This is basically saying, can we use social science indicators and analyses to complement the biological and ecological information that we more typically look at in order to lend more insight into status and trends? So this isn't really about risk. This is about better understanding which way the system is moving and why. The social scientist raised our initial Red Crab ABC as an example, where the ABC initially looked at recent catch. It's a fairly data-poor stock, which had been steadily going downhill for a period of 6 or 7 years, I believe. Initially, the SSC said this is a worrying trend, and we set an ABC toward the bottom of that trend. We later got additional information on that convinced us that that trend had much more to do with the market demand and sort of the supply side of Red Crab and changed our perception. So there was an example early on, and social scientists were proposing that more of that kind of combination of information could be incorporated. We talked quite a bit and looked at a couple of the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council's fishery performance reports and suggested that those might be a useful model. In fact, I think our recommendation is actually much stronger than that, that we think this is a useful direction to go and we should go. However, Council staff noted that we're going to need to look carefully at what exactly it is we're asking, what's going to be required of council staff to prepare these reports, and whether that can be done realistically amidst all the demands already on council staff. So qualified that recommendation a little bit with, I think, due consideration of staff time. And therefore, what we're proposing is that our social scientists are going to develop some recommendation on the kinds of indicators we think would be useful, and work with both council staff and AP chairs to select a final set of preferred indicators and a plan and process for producing and communicating those to the SSC. The idea to have dedicated social science terms of reference and possibly a quorum standard, quite simply, and this was a, I think, one of the positions that our social scientists did take. There wasn't much appetite for sort of token terms of reference in the social sciences, that we should be addressing terms of reference that meet the needs of the council and not trying to, you know, cover all the disciplines equally. So there wasn't a lot of appetite for that. The SSC as a whole also didn't have a lot of appetite for a quorum standard, and the reason for that is because our social scientists have at times offered, not at times, quite often actually, offered valuable insights, including into the natural sciences. I think these folks have spent enough time around the biologists and ecologists that we've rubbed off on them a bit, and they can now offer really useful insights into recruitment trends and survey indices and all the kinds of things we consider in the natural sciences, and have at times offered the sorts of insights in the social sciences that we think can better inform our work. But in highlighting that, they were quick to respond that if they're going to do that in more than kind of an ad hoc way, they need the sort of information we talked about in the preceding proposal. So while the natural scientists on the committee said, you guys bring insights to us that we find useful, they said, well, if you want to rely on us for that, give us information that we can interpret and try to help explain what's going on. So I think that's further support for the previous proposal to do something like the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Performance Reports. Another thing we discussed when it came to the quorum standard is that, you know, SSC members can and should use their discretion about when and how to contribute to an issue at hand. And if any individual does not feel that something we're discussing within their expertise, they can be quiet and bow out of the discussion. So we didn't feel we needed to force some kind of a standard about who's present and who participates, that there is opportunity for discretion here. However, we did think it's worth, you know, shy of setting a quorum standard, it is worth more carefully scrutinizing the meeting composition, especially when we're right at a quorum, in light of what's on the agenda, and just making sure we do have adequate expertise. So if in the extreme case where we've met our quorum of eight, but that's four social scientists and four natural scientists, and we're primarily doing ABC setting with not much social science information, that might be a time we say we need to think about rescheduling the meeting to get more natural sciences. So I think as a whole, there was some sympathy with the spirit of what this idea was trying to get at, but not support for developing that standard. This final idea to develop and utilize a core of experts not in the SSC, quite simply, there was strong support for this proposal, and we noted that we've done this at least once in the past, a few years ago when we first looked at the Habitat PDT SASE model. At the time, we didn't have quite the same level of ecological and ecosystem expertise that I think we do now, so we recruited Dr. Whitlatch from UConn to join the SSC for that review, and it was valuable. So the summary of those recommendations is that, first of all, we should provide more and utilize more social science information alongside the natural science information in ABC setting. But we should not develop token social science terms of reference or a quorum standard, but we should produce and utilize a roster of external experts to recruit as needed for specific tasks. Our next topic came to us, I believe, from the council chair and requested a discussion of participation of fishermen in SSC process, and this was a fairly generic request and a fairly therefore fairly broad discussion, but we identified several key benefits of having fishermen participate in SSC process. First of all, we all agree that fishermen have unique insights into the biological, ecological, and socioeconomic trends in a given fishery, and that these can and at times have changed our perceptions of risk. So a fisherman participant at the meeting cited an example a couple years ago where we were setting a monkfish ABC. I believe we were worried about the catch or CPUE trend, and he had noted that some of the skate species in that region were increasing in abundance, clogging nets, and that had an effect on catch and CPUE of monkfish. So, you know, that I think shifted our perception of risk and our degree of optimism or pessimism about the stock. So that was one example where that sort of insight did, I think, affect our decision. We've talked at times at the SSC and in other forums about the lags in incorporation of sort of more formal scientific data into management. And so between the time data are collected, reviewed, incorporated into a stock assessment, which is then reviewed and then used in ABC setting, quite a bit of time can have passed from when the data were originally collected. And that's something we've struggled with at times in the process, and that one potential offset to that lag is fishermen can provide much more immediate insights into what's going on the water. We saw value in that. And that role, I think, was especially important at a time when we know the ecosystem is changing quite rapidly and unpredictably in some ways in response to climate change and other factors, and in response to that as the council starts to transition towards EBFM. However, there were some concerns about fishermen participation in SSC process. First of all, there's going to be clear problems with conflict of interest, especially when setting an ABC on a stock on which a fisherman is dependent. There's also concerns about the fact that any individual fisherman is likely to have a somewhat restricted perspective based on the gears, fishing grounds, target species, years in the fishery, et cetera, that characterize that individual. And that we may need, through the course of all of our work, a broader perspective than one individual could provide. I think these two concerns were specifically with reference to the potential for fishermen to sit on the SSC. We discussed other ways, as I did in the previous slide, about how fishermen could contribute beyond an actual seat. Another issue that was raised is that if fishermen come to contribute insights at the SSC stage, that might actually be, in some cases, be too late in the process. These sort of more observational and anecdotal information can be useful, but they also need to be somehow synthesized and reviewed in order to be responsibly incorporated, and that needs to happen early. So while we didn't want to discourage fishermen participation in SSC process, we wanted to highlight that it really needs to begin earlier in many cases to be most effective. So our recommendations, first of all, to follow on that last comment, the SSC encourages fishermen to participate in the overall science process, from research and data collection through to assessment and then ultimately to development of catch advice at the SSC level. We didn't think that dedicated seats on the SSC for fishermen were warranted. However, we very clearly stated that fishermen should feel free and are welcome to apply for open seats just like anyone else. And that appointment, like anyone else, should be based on an individual's experience and credentials as well as the overall SSC's needs. So what kind of expertise and perspectives are we missing and need to fill? And finally, this relates back to one of the recommendations from the previous agenda item on social science participation. But here again, we saw potential for something like these fishery performance reports, and here especially with AP input, to be another vehicle for involvement of fishermen, and we even discussed whether it might make sense, if the council goes in that direction, to have AP chairs present the reports alongside the PDT chairs. So those are a variety of thoughts on how fishermen can be more involved in SSC process. The next report we provided was this. We had been requested from the executive director to provide some comments on a proposed process from NOAA for prioritizing stock assessments. I'm going to give a very brief overview of that process. I don't feel it's my place or that I'm qualified to give a detailed review, and I recommend the council get one if they want to discuss this in more detail. But basically, this might represent a shift from region-by-region prioritization and timing of assessments to some national process, following a request from OMB, which I assume has to do with just cost efficiencies. The proposal first develops a plan for providing first-time assessments for unassessed stocks and then looks at a plan for improving the assessments of assessed stocks where warranted. And in doing so, aims ultimately to also develop a target frequency of assessment for each stock based on a variety of factors. The process proposed that benchmarks should only happen when new data allow new models to be introduced, and that otherwise stock assessment should be updated when the most recent assessment is either at or beyond the target frequency. And then the considerations for the prioritization of stocks include many that I think we'd expect and that are fairly logical. It's commercial and recreational fishery importance and ecosystem importance, the biological attributes of the stock, its status, as well as its assessment history, particularly with an eye to unresolved uncertainties. So that's a very brief overview of the overview we received of the prioritization process. It then goes on to have various flow charts about how actually these factors would lead to a prioritization. Our comments were, first of all, this process might be overly formalized, and some members felt even naive, given the complexity of factors that often go into determining when a given assessment is scheduled. And generally, the SSC felt that flexibility and professional judgment of the science leaders and fishery managers is going to remain important in scheduling stock assessments. One potential advantage, though, raised by several SSC members, is that a clear and more transparent process, which arguably we don't quite have yet, could counteract the sometimes unproductive effects of political interference in the management and science process, so that if we're stating much more clearly how and why we time assessments, we could push back on some of that interference. We did, however, discuss that despite, I think, some of the logic people saw in many of the factors that are considered, in reality, specification cycles and other management and regulatory deadlines are likely to remain overriding factors, for the time being at least, in timing stock assessments. We also had some discussion about a potential disconnect we saw between a general call, both at the SSC level and elsewhere, for more frequent assessments, more timely incorporation of new information. This came up in our discussion of fishermen participation, this lag that we deal with, and that sometimes raises doubts about the quality of assessments. So this call to have more timely and more frequent assessments with fewer lags, and yet a process that could be moving toward longer multi-year cycles for at least some assessments. So there was a potential disconnect there in some of the discussions we're having. We just wanted to raise as a question. We felt that, you know, when fishermen make investments that help with assessments, which could include ship time, funding, et cetera, to support research or data collection, that should be factored in, and they should see a return in the frequency of assessments, and that seemed to be missing. We noted that there are differences in the time required for benchmark or under our new language research track assessments versus update or under our new language operational assessments, and that's going to be a big determinant of how many assessments can be performed in a given year. And the balance between those would seemingly be hard to predict, since the benchmarks only come along when new information is available. So if you're getting a flood of new information that allows more benchmarks, that's going to decrease the overall number of assessments. So that's a consideration that needs to be borne in mind. Similarly, the types of models that are used across the assessment, that the more complex and data-intensive models that are used, the more time is likely to be required to produce the assessment. So that is also going to be a factor in determining the number that can be done. Finally, whatever approach is utilized to prioritizing and scheduling assessments, we felt it's important to manage expectations always about how many assessments can be done in a given year. So that was a more general comment that I think is true of our current approach as well as this proposed approach. Finally, the last report we had was a discussion, and this was a topic that came at the request of several SSC members, on the use of multiple models in stock assessment and developing catch advice. Some of the considerations that went into having this discussion were, first of all, the SSC has at several times over the last several years included in its recommendations the recommendation to use multiple models for assessment, estimation of reference points, evaluation of uncertainty, and ultimately developing catch advice. Most recently, our comments on the terms of reference for the upcoming Gulf of Maine haddock assessment included a recommendation to consider multiple models. That recommendation was not incorporated, and I actually personally was quite okay with that, because I think what we've been missing in making that comment along the way is adequate detail about really what it is we're talking about. What are we suggesting? What are we asking for? So we felt it was worth having a discussion to start to specify what we mean, how we think multiple models should be selected and utilized, and ultimately how that affects development of catch advice. The SSE actually already has been presented with information from multiple models. I don't know if this was the most recent one, but the most recent one that came to mind was the most recent Gulf of Maine cod assessment, where there were two models making different assumptions about natural mortality, and the results of both were moved forward. And I think we struggled a little bit with how to reconcile the potentially competing views of those two models. So we've been saying it would be useful to have more insight and information, and sort of realize we haven't actually specified then how we're going to deal with that. So part of this discussion was something we're, I think, ultimately asking of the stock assessment process, but part of it is also an onus on the SSC itself to be clear about how we're then going to use that information. So generally, the advantage of using multiple models is that we're getting more information and more insight into what's going on with a given stock. A concern among many of our members is that when you have different models that are comparably plausible, generally we try to pick the best one, move it forward, and largely disregard the rest. When the difference between them may have been minor, and yet they may have very different outcomes that provide useful information we're not adequately considering. The disadvantage, as I just specified, is there might be some uncertainty about how to handle those competing perspectives from different models. So it has a potential to introduce a problematic level of ambiguity into the system. So the recommendations we came up with, first of all, at present the assessment process does strive to arrive at a single consensus model for a given assessment. And at the end of the day, we were supportive of that goal. However, we didn't feel that goal should be reached for no matter what. If it was very clear that two models really couldn't meaningfully be separated, if there was strong disagreement, we didn't feel it was a necessary outcome to have a consensus model, and that multiple models can and should be moved forward when they can't be separated. Even when a consensus model can be reached, though, several members who are very active in assessments pointed out that a typical assessment actually considers dozens, if not hundreds, of models if you consider entirely different types of models as well as different permutations of a given type. So in the Gulf of Maine cod example, that was a single model type with two different parameter inputs. That actually is repeated over and over throughout the assessment process. So there's a lot of models that are considered, and therefore a lot of information we already have. And we felt it would be useful to try to better capture and convey the information from some of those other models that were considered but ultimately rejected, and that it may hopefully wouldn't introduce some undue additional burden on the assessment process. But I think our most important recommendation is that we realize going into this discussion that it's a big and complex topic. We dedicated more time at this meeting than we ever had to it, and yet we knew at the beginning, and we said this right at the beginning, we're probably not going to resolve this today. We had another ad hoc subgroup that kind of was formed and helped us prepare for this discussion by providing background materials and a few introductory presentations. And they plan to keep meeting following this discussion to develop some more specific guidance than what we were able to achieve at the meeting. And I think we're likely to be requesting time at a later meeting to review the work of that group and ultimately provide some more detailed recommendations on how and when to use multiple models in our science process. And that's it. I thought about following Captain DeCola's lead and putting a picture of my little girl up here. Now that he's set that precedent, you can expect one next time. But that's all I have, and I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you, Jake and the SSC. I'd like to hold this to questions because much of what the SSC recommendations that Jake has just laid out there are going to be reviewed by the NRCC next week anyhow, and the executive committee again in June, and we'll be bringing them back to this council in June. So if question, Terry?
Jake, when you guys were talking about fishermen on the SSC, was there any discussion of maybe having multiple fishermen with expertise in different areas as you were doing different, like George's had it, have a George's guy on there, or a Gulf of Maine guy, inshore Gulf of Maine guy when you're doing inshore Gulf of Maine stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Ty. I don't know if what you're asking is to have sort of short-term appointments as needed, like what we recommended for social scientists, or I think generally the concern was that if you consider the number of different permutations of a fisherman, the combination of gear, vessel size, fishing grounds, target stocks, et cetera, they're just way more than you're ever going to adequately capture on the SSC. We didn't actually discuss what I think you're asking is whether sort of targeted involvement for specific terms of reference would be warranted or not. That seems to happen. I mean, obviously not people sitting at the table, but you know, we tend to get guys, and they're generally guys, who show up when something that's going to affect their fishery is on the table. So the audience makeup certainly goes in the direction you're talking about. We didn't discuss though whether there could be some sort of turnover or ad hoc appointments as needed.
I mean, the executive committee did have some significant discussion about this last week, and the MID has set the precedent in producing fishery performance reports for their SSC. We like the idea. We're teasing it apart. Tom needs to work in a way with staff as to not overburden them. There's some examples that we've been looking at for tilefish, and in order to provide clear information about the fishery to the SSC, I think, you know, we'll continue this discussion and be able to better report back to everybody in June. Got Mike, then Mary Beth.
Yes, thank you, Jake. Good report, and I agree with most of what you've reported out from the SSC. I am curious about the discussion of the sort of national process for priority setting, in that it strikes me that one of the implications of that would be some sharing of expertise from centers around the country. That is, if you're setting priorities such that your workload in one year is heavily in one place versus another, there are just so many bodies around that can do the work, and that could result in some sharing, which could have some very positive effects in terms of just opening up the thinking on various things, but could have some very practical negative effects. I'm wondering if that came up as a discussion point at all during this.
It did not. Personally, I think it's a good point and one we didn't think about. And I think that comment shows the downside of you moving from the SSC to the council. So, no, it did not. It did not come up.
To follow up, Bill. Yeah, just to follow up quickly. That actually is part of the national discussion within the agency. So it's good to highlight that.
Mike.
Yeah, I think that's great, and I would expect it would be, because the science directors would be very sensitive to that. In terms of how this proceeds, and I'm not necessarily expecting that Dr. Karp would answer this right now, but I think our viewpoint on it ought to be significantly influenced by whether this is a movement being driven out of OMB, for whatever reason OMB might drive it, versus a movement being developed with the full backing of the science board, including people like Dr. Karp as the science director. Because I can see a substantial difference in the way the reality check might come forward depending on where the driving force is. So that I would just keep that in mind.
Mary Beth.
Thank you. Just a question relative to your discussion about the use of or the role of social scientists. And I'm wondering if you considered how other SSCs in other parts of the country, use social scientists in terms of reference for them, and just in general. Was that discussed?
Yeah, the majority of the discussion did focus on the Mid-Atlantic's use of fishery performance reports. We did look, council staff had prepared a breakdown of all eight SSCs by discipline. So we just sort of looked to see, how are SSCs structured, and there's quite a bit of variability. I believe the Gulf actually, Gulf of Mexico actually has a separate social science SSC, which used to be the case in New England, and then they were merged. So we did look just to see kind of what the diversity of composition was out there, but in terms of actual use of social science and social scientists, it was largely restricted to we zeroed in on that one idea pretty quickly, and there was a lot of support for it.
Further questions for Jake? Tom.
Yeah, I'd just like to make two comments. Jake, thanks for the report. The prioritization process will be discussed at the NRCC meeting next week, where one of the people who was very involved in it is actually going to come down and brief the NRCC on the prioritization process. They're trying to get comments back by the 1st of May, which I think is a little unrealistic given everybody's council schedules. And we're also planning to talk about it at the Council Coordination Committee meeting in May. One of the things when this was briefed to the Council Coordination Meeting Committee in February, one of the things that attracted all of our attention is that when you look at the prioritization report, it's pretty skimpy on what the needs of managers are. That doesn't really factor into the prioritization process. And only in one bullet on one slide did Dr. Mathot kind of address it, and he addressed it in what I would say is a backhanded way, backwards way, by saying we may need to change the management cycle so it fits the assessment cycle. And, while the center scientists think that's a great idea, that's not particularly the way we look at things. So that's one of the issues that we'll probably discuss a little bit more. And I was glad to see that the SSC sort of weighed in on something similar when you talked about the specs and the management process. The other thing with the multiple models is I think that issue might also be on the NRCC agenda. And I would just caution the SSC against investing too much time in that until we incorporate participation of the center and the Mid-Atlantic and EASMFC, because this is really a sea change in our assessment process, and I think we're going to have to work through the issues with a larger group than just our SSC on that.
Yeah, just a quick comment on that. I don't want to presuppose too much where the SSC is going to come out on this, because, like I said, we recognize that we were starting a longer discussion. Tom will certainly take that comment under advisement, and I'll pass it on to that subgroup and sort of let them know you might not want to spend too much time on this. But I did see the discussion trending towards support for selection of a single model for status determination to the extent possible, and the use of multiple models more in better characterizing uncertainty. And so that in, you know, one thing I kind of pressed the group on is saying, you know, if we're going to ask for this, we need to also be clear about how we're going to use it. And to me, what that means is thinking about our control rules and whether we're going to modify our control rules somehow to, you know, increase or shrink buffers depending upon what this additional insight tells us. So that point is well taken, but I think some of the information we might get from using multiple models can help with what we're already trying to do, which is to understand and respond to uncertainty.
Any final questions for Jake? Well, thank you, Jake. Enjoy the ball game.
I will. Thank you.
Let's take a 1 hour break for lunch and be back here, or 1 hour plus, be back here at 1:45, and I will provide a very short overview of the climate change workshop.